We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back, quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith here, coming back to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We are joined now, as promised, guaranteed. It's the reason you stuck around this long. Jeff Brown joins us to talk some Penn State hoops. Jeff, how you doing? There's always a pleasant surprise when you jump on. And by the way, I want to circle back to last week. I had to cut you off before. You had something interesting you wanted to say last week that we talked about at off air. I think it was, what was it? Was it Patrick Chambers' favorite Christmas song? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
It was your negative.
I have so much respect for Patrick Chambers, but this is the first time he's let me down. And I'm assuming it's true, because during the game, PJ Mullen and the crew said they were going to play Last Christmas by Wham, because that was Coach Chambers' favorite song. Now, I don't know if they were goofing or not. I'm praying to God they were. But allegedly, Pat Chambers' favorite Christmas song is Last Christmas by Wham.
Well, listen, last week I gave you my heart on this podcast. This is the very next week. I hope you don't give it away.
I'm just shaking my head. But other than that, everything's going well for that guy this year.
Yeah, I would say so. 11-2. They come back out of a 9-day break, and I think the theme is just taking care of business. This was not a great Cornell team that came to town. This is a 1-10 team. But Penn State didn't play down to the level of competition, which I think, again, as we talked about last week, everybody's looking for that next clue that suggests that Penn State's about to spiral. And they didn't give it to them. 90-59, good, impressive win coming off of a 9-day break. They looked crisp, didn't they?
Yes, they did. I got to give credit to Jimmy Boeheim. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Boeheim. Taking a page from his father. But, yeah, he's a really good player. But, no, the Cornell team wasn't all that good. But, again, another key, another sign of improvement is the Lions did not play down to their level. In seasons past, you know, they've had problems like that, and they have not had that this year. When they need to step on somebody's throat, they have stepped on somebody's throat, with the exclusion of Mississippi State.
I have to point out the symmetry in this game. 45 first half points, 45 second half points, 4 out of 13 from 3-point range in the first half, 4 out of 13 from 3-point range in the second half. It's almost like it was organized.
Oh, yeah. And, Mike Watkins and Lamar Stevens come up big. They had 19. The great thing was Myron Jones, 18 points. There's that third score that the Penn State Nittany Lions have lacked for how long? I mean, you go back to the Taylor Battle, Danny Morrissey, Jamel Cornley days, or maybe back to Jozzie Klein, Hurd, and the Crispin brothers. They have never had a scoring threat like these three. And it's so nice to be able to sit back and watch that, because teams don't collapse on anybody anymore, because they can't collapse on anybody anymore. Someone else is going to pick up the slack.
I thought, Jeff, what was interesting in the game right from the beginning, it was obvious Mike Watkins cannot be contained.
Oh, no.
In the middle. And they went to him, took advantage of it. He was the best player in the paint, and he showed it right away. He didn't back off.
He is getting better every single game. I can't wait until the end of the season to see how good he is, because he's head and shoulders better than he was, which was pretty good back then. And like I said, he's improving every game. You can see more confidence. I mean, he owned the paint and he owned the backboard this time around.
And I think, you look at that rebounding edge, 43-28 overall, but also, 18 offensive rebounds, some second chance points. It was, to kind of speak back to taking control of this game, it was an area where they had an advantage, and it was an area where that advantage showed up on paper too.
Yeah, and then they forced 17 turnovers with Cornell, and You know, so they're still playing great defense. I think it's what, 13 out of the 16 games or whatever, or whatever the statistic is, they've held opponents to 70 or less. I think it's only three games that they haven't done that. So, you know, the defense is there, the offense is there, and I'm almost to the point watching this team, and Jim, maybe you can jump in as well. It's almost a surprise when Mike Watkins doesn't get a rebound.
You're exactly right, and the national announcers have talked about him being engaged. I don't think it's so much about him being engaged, but if he could just stay away from those silly fouls, you know, away from the basket, and he's a changed player and they're a changed team when he gets in foul trouble.
You're right. Absolutely right. You know, John Herrick, God bless him. He's a great backup, but he is not the guy who's going to carry the team like Mike will. And, you know, so Mike does have to make sure he stays on the court. And I think this year, Patrick has done a good job of spelling Mike at different points to keep him out of foul trouble.
He really has. And what was interesting, I was watching the game, and as it started to get out of hand, I get a little distracted doing some other things, and I turn and look, and Cornell made a play, went to the hoop, and I'm like, wait a minute, they can't do that. Where's Watkins? And then I took a look. He wasn't in the game. So I didn't even need to know. I could just see what the opponent was doing to say, hey, he must not be in there.
You know, I have to keep pinching myself, too, and telling myself to watch everything that Lamar Stevens does, because I'm starting to take his greatness for granted as well, which I guess is a nice thing. But, man, that block he made, unreal.
Impressive. We were talking earlier this week about the football team and watching Pat Freiermuth run over somebody. Mm-hmm. That was the basketball same kind of thing.
Equivalent is the word
equivalent.
You're looking for.
Thank you, Dustin. Boy, yes, that's what I was
looking for.
And it was so impressive. That wasn't a block. That he just destroyed the shot.
Oh, yeah. It was so cool to watch. And I want to point out one other thing. There were a lot of people in the Jordan Center. And when you take that crowd and then you add the students when they get back, they're going to have some huge crowds in the new year to watch Penn State basketball. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It will be a lot of fun. But speaking of the venue, is it next week, the Palestra they're going to?
Yeah.
I'm not sure everyone in our audience realize what that means, playing in the Palestra in Philadelphia.
It's historic. I was there last time. I was fortunate enough to be able to announce the game. I'm going to get to do that again this weekend. And it just, you walk in the place and you can just feel the history.
I lived for about 20 years in Philadelphia, and I made my way to the Palestra a lot. And it's not just you're playing in Philadelphia. It's the Mecca, and it's called that for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But it also has meaning by playing in Philadelphia for recruiting, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially this year, you're going to come in with at least the 20th ranked team in the nation. And you've got all those Philly players. It's a hotbed of talent. And they're going to be able to go there. They're going to be able to see, you know, the team actually up close and personal with all the stars that they have developed. This is going to be a huge recruiting opportunity for Penn State.
And the good Iowa team, you know, that's it's going to be a top 25 matchup all around, which I think is going to be exciting. I wanted to circle back. 11 straight home games Penn State has won. And what's been the common theme in all those games? Jeff Brown, you know, so... I think you can say 11 straight home games they've won. You can also say 11 straight games they've won with Jeff Brown doing the calls. So
PJ Mullen said there, you know, he reminded me of that. He said, hey, we're undefeated, so you can't miss a game this year.
You can't.
No pressure.
You can't. And honestly, you're talking about all the energy and stuff. That'd be a good way to take the wind out of the sails, is to get, have some, you know, backup announcer in there. not gonna cut it.
Now, how are we going to get you to do the road games now, Jeff?
I don't know. I'm going to have to start getting people sick. I'll be Typhoid Mary or something like that and get all the PA announcers out of there.
That is a sound strategy and a good plan.
Hey, can I jump in something real quick?
Yeah.
I want to say something about the Penn State Lady Lion basketball program, because they played Minnesota on Saturday, and Minnesota's a really good team. They could win the Big Ten easily. They jumped out to a 30-plus point lead. And, you know, around half. In fact, it was 30, you know, 28, 30, whatever, through most of the game. And the Lady Lions went in at halftime. They came back out. They ended up losing by 7. And that wasn't against the scrubs from Minnesota. The starters were still in for Minnesota throughout the second half. I don't know what Coach Keeger did, but I know last year they probably would have just, you know, we can't get out of here fast enough. And this year they fought, they scraped. Oh, man, it was fun to watch. So big salute to Coach Keeger and what she's doing with this year's team. She's got some really talented young players, and she's got another recruiting class coming in next year. She is really doing the same great job that Pat Chambers is doing. And I stood up. I gave him a standing ovation when the game was over. I've never done that, sir, but it was so inspiring to see them just back, end up losing by 7. That they have been down the.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're looking for signs, anytime you have a team that's in any kind of a rebuild or, you know, something in that neighborhood, you're looking for signs that they can get it pointed in the right direction. Sometimes those signs come in losses. One thing I wanted to circle back on real quick, we got about a minute and change. Last week, I think we just talked about Miles Dredd and the need to kind of get him going and what happens if he doesn't get going. One player on Penn State's team played above 30 minutes against Cornell, and it was Miles Dredd. Goes 0 for 6 from the floor, 0 for 6 from three-point range, 2 points in those 34 minutes. What are your thoughts just on to kind of pick up that conversation from last week?
I have no idea what's going on. Kid was a good player. I remember, you know, Dick Hardy that he saw him in high school and it was like a man playing plays. It's not a lack of It was pretty obvious that Pat was leaving him out. Just nothing for him.
Hey, Jeff, we're having a little bit of phone connection issue. You're cutting in and out right now, but
okay.
With just a minute to go, we'll finish it up here from our side. Miles Dredd, again, that's got to be the one concern that this team has. You have a guy there. He's there to shoot, and when he's not hot, the good news is the team's still winning. Hopefully that gives him time to find himself.
Well, and it gives time for Patrick Chambers to explore some of these options, and it's not like an all-or-nothing approach. One of the differences this year, you have a third scorer. You are getting consistent bench scoring, so when you do have your third or fourth option, he does go cold. Penn State still has some choices, and I think that's allowed Miles Dredd a little bit of time to maybe try to get this thing going. That's,
Where they'll be when
Yeah, and if he gets hot, we'll see where it goes. That's Jeff Brown talking Penn State hoops. And that's it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Be sure to check us out, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Looking for the perfect Christmas gift for the Penn State fan in your life? Then you have to go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out the Tailgate Christmas Gift Box, filled with their famous sauces and rubs and even a Tailgate Club apron. All in a gift box shipped directly to you. And for a 10% discount, be sure to use code KSN on checkout. That's 409tailgateclub.com. And don't forget to use the code KSN on checkout for a 10% discount.